everybody. Welcome to Tadaima, Terrace House Podcast, your weekly companion to your favorite show on Netflix. I'm Robert Scarponito, and I'm joined here by Daily Wilhelm.
Konbanwa.
Jack Cepeda.
Irashamase.
And Colin Sparling.
Hello, everybody.
And as you all know, just right off the top here, we do want to say we are running a beautiful contest where you have a chance to win some AirPod Pros. Jack, do you want to tell the lovely folks at home about that?
Yeah, thank you for everyone who's done it so far. We will be shortly announcing a deadline here soon, so get your entries in if you haven't already, and do not wait. But yeah, just leave us a written review on Apple Podcast app or on iTunes, and then also just ping us somewhere on Instagram or Twitter or Discord, or email us and let us know what your Apple Podcast username is so we can tie that together, and then you're in. So thank you again to everyone who's left a review so far. We love reading them. We love reading comments on YouTube and everything, any way you guys get at us. It's always a good time. So yeah, appreciate it, guys.
Yeah, get at us.
Get at us.
Yeah. Get it. Get it. Yeah, headphones.
Yep. The AirPod Pro headphones.
That is what it's about, y'all.
Yep.
Your earbuds, but yeah.
This week, we are talking about episode 21 of Tokyo 2019-2020, Too Shy Girl. It's all about Hana here. So
can
shy.
Can I go ahead and give my controversial Terrace House take for the week?
Damn. Right.
Yes.
We are starting early. Clock.
It's not necessarily controversial. It's incredibly positive, especially for me. But guys, this might be my favorite episode of Terrace House Tokyo 2019-2020 so far. Took 21 episodes to get here, but this might be my top one. It was so positive. It was so good. After watching it, I was like, man, we should have live reacted to this one, I felt. But it was a good time. I enjoyed it thoroughly. All across
the board. I might be inclined to agree with you, Jack.
Wow.
I'm going to have to stew on it a little bit over the course of this episode, but I'm thinking I'm leaning towards agreeing with you.
It was so chock full of goodness. I cannot wait for this week, really. I'm actually finally post-flu Malone, so I'm ready to talk about it.
Post-flu Malone, the little-known rapper.
Yeah. He has some real sick beats.
Nice.
We're so sorry. Yeah, no, I'm inclined to agree too. I think this episode was probably one of the better ones. So good that we could probably just end our show here. Yeah, like it was a good episode.
Great, good to go.
Let's just go right. Yeah, just close the book. Episode 22.
Yep. Send tweet.
Send tweet. Yes. That's it.
It's made my heart go doki doki. I haven't had like a doki doki moment in a while for Terrace House, but this was filled with some. Like those heart pounding moments that you can only get out of Terrace House.
And it's not just because love is in the air, because love is in the air this week, make no mistake. But there was some really nice, tender moments among the girls. Most notably, there was a great moment with Pepe and Ryo.
Yes.
Ruka's there. So there's
Ruka's out busy. He's fighting Shocker and Electro.
He's defending the fair city.
Green Goblin.
No one else can.
Let's see how many Spider-Man villains we can name. But let's dive into this episode. Because, like Jack said, there are a lot of good moments here that I want to highlight that aren't even at all romantic. Mm-hmm. At least, in any way. But we start off here with the panel. They're recapping last episode as they always do. Baba lets us know that Hana's mom, we knew Hana's mom was a wrestler, but according to Baba, she was a fierce wrestler, a very respected and well-known wrestler who would almost murder people a little bit.
That picture of her was so good. I was whoa.
She's blood.
Fucking around. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the kind of shit Pepe wanted to see last week.
Yeah, Japanese wrestling was brutal. It still is brutal, but like was notoriously even more brutal than the WWE, which would be the WWF at the time.
I didn't know that, but it's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I remember when I was younger, my friends would talk about this is really intense or whatever, but like Japanese wrestling is even crazier.
Yeah. Before we move on to the panel, I just want to ask you guys, do you guys remember Shochan? Did he make any impact on you in this moment?
He does talk though. He talks.
He says like one line.
He says some stuff. I can't remember what it was, but I know he's flipping his jibs.
I mean, he said the word yes once or twice in there, I think.
Like literally in my notes, I have he asked one question. I didn't even write down what the question was because it didn't mean enough for me to write it down. Mm. But that's kind of it. This is the only reason I bring him up is because he's been gone for the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, the only reason I noticed that he was there is because they didn't go out of the way to be like, oh, he's filming a movie right now. He's not there.
Mm-hmm. And there he is. But I mean, his hair looks nice. I like it more than it was what I think I remember it as before.
He exists. He's a person. That is there.
That's our 1 minute on Shotan for this episode.
All right.
Yeah, and then we go into Terrace House itself. We're in the first floor with Pepe, Ryo, and Haruka, and this is the beginning of the zucchini mask scene. I love this scene. Yeah. It's so good. Ruka and Hana come downstairs later and join them, and then Emmy joins in after. Like, she comes home from getting a haircut and, you know, is roaming about the house, you know, getting settled in. She's going to eat. All the while, you know, Pepe has zucchini. Like, he has 20 slices of zucchini all over his face. And he's like, oh, I like your new hair. And she's like, you can't even see me.
Oh, did you cut your bangs? I like it.
Yeah.
Covered so with zucchini. Why is zucchini and not cucumber? Is my first question.
I thought it was cucumber too, but I just went with it because it kept saying zucchini. And, Tokui, doesn't he like make the note like, oh, zucchini, that's a suggestive vegetable in the beginning.
I mean, so I guess a cucumber is the same amount of suggestive if we're just going by shape, but like usually it's like you put like cool cucumbers over your eyes. They don't do anything, but it's nice and it can cut down on inflammation if you have a cooling like red and puffy eyes.
Yeah, it's a cooling feel and it doesn't like burn your eyes, more importantly, if the juice gets in there. It's like got a good pH balance or they're just like
dry enough.
And
then you can eat it.
Yes, you can. You can eat
your eye marinated cucumber.
Yeah. And the thing that's funny about this, too, this scene is that everyone's like, so why are we putting this on the skin? And Haruka, doesn't she say something like, oh, I don't know why, it just seemed appropriate. She didn't have like a good answer. I've seen it on TV somewhere. They had this going. So we're doing it, too. Damn it.
Yeah. I saw it with some friends.
It was a big group event thing. It was pretty funny.
So maybe she just saw zucchini or like somebody doing the mask and she just assumed it was zucchini instead of cucumber.
Oh, maybe
that might be it.
That could be what happened too. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That sounds about right. I just love that they were like trying to put it on without a mirror. So you had that universal like kind of look of confusion. Like, am I getting this on right? While they're like touching their faces.
Clearly, they don't know about the 5-point system.
Well, clearly. No, they don't. And then Hana, she just had the 3, right? The triangle. She had them like under her 2 eyes and then one on the middle of her forehead.
Mm. Yeah.
They all had different methods. It was interesting.
That's her third zucchini eye.
Yes. It lets her see into the future of that zucchini.
This is going in a salad.
Yep.
This is going in a salad.
This whole scene, what I loved about it is that there are these little moments where Emmy's trying to eat something in the kitchen, right? And Hana's like, oh, we cooked some yakodon, you can have some of that. But that whole scene felt like I don't know. It was a nice house moment, right? These 5 idiots with zucchini on their face and pasty white lotion that they don't know what they're doing with. And then one person who just got home and is eating is trying to like bear with the fact that like they're doing something real weird and I just want to eat.
Yeah. Like, they're over here putting ranch dressing and cucumbers on their faces.
I don't want to spend too much time complaining about Terrace House because we do that enough. Like, I'll focus on the positive for this week. But it's just like, man, it took a while to get these kind of scenes. But this is like what I'm glad we have now in Terrace House, right? Just like people hanging out in the living room, just having a good time. They don't care about how they look or, you know, or how cool they are. They're just being friends and being cool. And it's funny. It's fun to watch.
They feel like friends. And I didn't realize that was, I guess, like something I was missing for so long. Like, before it was like colleagues, we live in the same house, but now it's like everyone's like joshing with each other and putting zucchini on each other's faces and asking you know, questions to things that we want to know about these people.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you said a few weeks back, Daily, that always stuck with me afterwards is like, we're complaining about the first 6 and just their lack of chemistry. And you're like, they're slightly bitter roommates. And it just really stuck with me. Like, yeah, it's a way to describe it. And I'm glad we're past that now. Let's focus on the positive because all 6 of these people have something to bring. I mean, even Ruka is the little brother now of the house, apparently getting his hair done. But I don't know. I'm just really enjoying the dynamic in the house since Hana joined.
Mm. We've been suffocating y'all. They've been starving.
It's basically been an upward trend since the original six started leaving. Like they've just elevated with the three new people.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We need more of this. Mm-hmm. Need more
for
of
sure.
It.
For sure. I'm happy about it.
So the friendship kind of like takes a pause here for a minute. Because Emmy comes in, sits right next to Dio, and there's a little bit of flirtiness going on here, right?
Yo, a you lot know, of
they,
it.
They have a little bit of a tete-a-tete going on, where Ryo asks, hey, have you done anything fun recently? And she's like, no, it's because you haven't been around.
Dude.
And he immediately, he doesn't even bat an eye. He's like, that was the perfect response. High-five me awkwardly, please.
Yeah.
A lot of high-fives.
I mean... Yeah, I can see it, and I'm glad they're high-fiving now, finally. But it was like a sexually tense moment for me, I guess, when she said that. I don't know. It was just like, whoa, this is some heavy. I mean, it's lighthearted flirting, but I just feel like there's a lot being, what's the word, non-verbally communicated, I guess, through that.
A lot of off-camera boning.
Yep.
What?
Wow. Yeah. I don't think we're at that level yet.
That was a jump.
Yeah. Hey man, the first time we witnessed off camera boning, it was a jump. So, just saying.
Damn.
Keep it spicy.
Pretty much everyone's probably off camera boning. Is that basically the point we're trying to make here?
We wouldn't know any better.
Off camera orgy.
What? Do you think Shohei still calls Pepe? I miss you.
Just in the middle of it, I just like I was thinking about you.
I didn't know you watched
your pink film again.
I didn't know you three were enjoying this new batch of housemates so much here in the days you don't record. You guys are getting a lot more out of this than I have been.
You know, I just think about what are they getting up to. They say they haven't seen the girls' room or the boys' room, but I think all the rooms are getting a lot of use. I have no idea what I'm saying. What?
Like, especially
that's supposed to be suggestive whatsoever.
Especially the secret Japanese style room that we haven't seen yet.
Ah, yes.
Oh, here we go. And so that's always struck me as strange. I guess it must be a cultural thing that people could live in a house for multiple days, maybe even up to a week or more, and still not have seen every room in the house. Like, I don't know. It's just like a weird thing for me. Like when I go into a new house, and if I'm going to live there, the first thing I'm going to do is explore the entire house and know where every little thing is. I just like to know like the layout, and maybe it's a security issue or something. I don't know, but I just want to know how to get around, you know? I don't know. Mm. What do you guys think? You think that's strange or that they don't go to explore?
If you, well, I mean, the boys and girls in the city thing where they just plain seem to not even know about the Japanese style room, like that was kind of crazy. Yeah. Like, did nobody even wonder about it? Like, I doubt it. They had to have seen it.
That's got to be like an editing thing. I chalk that up
it,
to
it. Oh, has to be. Yeah, has to be. But
that feels like a scripted.
Yeah, it has to be. But when you live with other people, though, I mean, you don't just waltz into their room, do you? You just kind of like, oh, can I see your bedroom? And I just, you know.
Yeah, I kind of imagined it as like a privacy thing, you know, like, oh, I don't sleep in the girls' room, so I'll only go in when I'm invited. Like, I'm not just going to wander when they're not home.
We did have the panty scramble.
The panty scramble.
Yes.
Is that commonly what it's called?
That's this week. I mean.
I am now calling it that. TM. Please credit me.
Coming soon to PlayStation Vita.
Yeah. Oh, God. Panty scramble. And iOS. I fucking bet there's a game out there called panty scramble, though.
So, and by God, if there isn't. There will be now. But Robert, I get what you're saying about the privacy thing with the bedrooms, but I seem to remember that it was one of the guys, either Rio or Pepe, they like had lived there multiple days and hadn't even seen the roof yet. I can't remember which one it was.
Weird.
But that's weird. I don't know, just me.
I mean, but they're also really busy people, like both of them especially, right?
Sure.
Fair enough. Very busy. So it could just be like, I don't need to see the roof right now because I need to focus on my manga or focus on my triples.
And Pepe is spending probably most of his day at his regular house anyways, drawing. Mm.
Dang. Boy's busy.
Guys, I have a confession.
You've seen every room in Terrace House?
I've never seen my bathroom.
You only have one bathroom and you share it with Robert.
Well, he walks in with a blindfold. Every time I have to clean up.
Oh no! I was about to say I have so many questions about functionality, but I don't want to know.
Listen, man, he's in there.
Are you guys, hold on, could you guys have one, can I ask a personal question? Because you guys have one bathroom, do you ever do the thing where someone is in the shower, but then the other person is using the toilet at the same time?
You remember that? Well, I mean, Robert may not know, but...
That's why he puts on the blindfold, though. That's why I make him put on the blindfold, so he doesn't... He for sure can't see anything.
Oh, my gosh.
If someone's gonna use the bathroom, like, while I'm trying to take a shower, I say it's a prerequisite. You have to look at me naked now if you really want this toilet that bad.
Look me in the eye.
That's your pain.
Yeah, yeah, don't break eye contact while you're peeing right now. Stare at
me. We actually have one of those transparent shower curtains.
Doesn't have Jeff Goldblum on it, though?
It does.
Our curtain does have
Mr. Goldblum.
No, it's not just a Jeff Goldblum shower curtain, though. It's a shower curtain with a sunset in the background with a dog longingly looking at Jeff Goldblum's face off in the sunset.
It's an altar to worship, clearly.
And the beautiful thing is Jeff Goldblum's face is so big on that curtain that no matter how you look at him, he's always looking right back at you. Nice. Right into your eyes.
Yes.
As
life finds a way.
Man.
Yeah.
Shout out to the Share a Bathroom Squad. I couldn't do that anymore, but
Jeff Goldblum, Terrace House, when?
Make it happen.
New theory.
My god.
Did he come up
that
when we
would
were
be amazing.
When we were suggesting American panelists for an American version of the show,
did he come up?
I don't even think he did.
Well, he came up now and he's
yeah.
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 No, he would basically be before. He has the same energy as Tokui.
I was going to say exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's exactly that.
He could take Tokui.
But let's get back into the Terrace House show, right?
God, we haven't even started the show yet.
We've just talked about zucchini.
Listen, guys, you don't need a bathroom if you have a balcony.
So Hana asks Ryo, why did you come to Terrace House? And Ryo's answer, I like it. I mean, it's pretty typical. Well, not typical, but it happens a bit in Terrace House where he's a hard worker, but he wants to be surrounded by other people who do other hard work in other fields to inspire him. You know, it's a good answer, especially, you know, leading up to the Olympics.
Mm-hmm.
And then he asks Hana, and Hana is like, oh, you know,
I'm here for a boyfriend.
That's what she did, doesn't say that.
I know, right?
I'm here for adventure.
She says that giant pillow
of wrestling of to the world.
I want people to know about wrestling. And I love how Emmy is like, hold up a minute.
Yeah, hold up.
Instantly. No,
she calls her out.
Pepe does too. Pepe calls her out too.
Yeah.
That's not what you said before.
What? Why are you lying? Why are you lying, girl?
Why are you always lying?
Why are you always lying?
In different parts of the song.
Oh my god.
Why are
you lying?
But she did. She just stone cold lied. She's too shy. She can't handle when Ryo looks at her because he maintains too much eye contact. She has to put the pillow up and peek over the top, like, wow, because you just can't stop smiling.
Yeah, it's insane. She is the too shy girl.
Wow. So, I don't know, guys. I don't know. Is that a hint? You guys think that's a hint? I don't know. I'm not sure.
Ryo ain't no slouch. He knows the name of the game. He knows that she is crushing.
Oh, yeah. It's hard not to. Like, because she's not like that with anyone else. She'll hold a conversation with Pepe and Ruka. Like, it's fine. But the moment that Ryo's there, the pillow comes up.
Yeah. Think about how forward Hana was with Pepe, right? You know, when Pepe raised his hand and he has a crush on someone, she was just straight up like, yo, you, me, roof, now let's talk about it.
Go. Yeah.
Right? Go. But
that's true.
With like, could you see her doing that with Ryo? Not even.
No, half this episode, we spend it watching her trying to ask him out.
It's reminiscent of when Ruka can't help turning red. It just comes down to being a novice in this, you know, in the
similar
regard.
Energy.
Like, Ruka pales in comparison, if you'll pardon the phrase.
I get it.
Hana's level of, like, embarrassment, because Ruka totally functions. He's fine. I mean, from the start, he could talk to people. And he never, like, seemed like this outwardly, like, very, very embarrassed person. Like, maybe a little bashful, maybe a little awkward, especially when asking out, like, Kaori. But, like, she's just, like, 14. Like, yeah. that's the last time I've seen that behavior in someone is at age 14. I got me and my girls. We're going to, like, try to ask someone out, but I need a group of people to help me do it.
Mm.
Daily, I want to call you out here for a second. I thought Ruka was 14.
Whoa.
I mean, he
per, is. Per your conspiracy theory.
We're all 14 in this instance here. Now, when she gets nervous, I can just tell her palms are sweaty, knees weak. Arms are heavy.
Spaghetti.
But
if I'm spaghetti, not a spaghetti already, spaghetti. Mom's spaghetti.
What I'm saying how many is, songs can we fit into this show?
I can tell though, guys. She's got sweaty palms. She's so nervous. It's just, oh man, it's fun to watch now. But and you know what? I think she will eventually get over it. Eventually, but it's going to take a couple dates, maybe.
Yeah, it's take some coaxing. Yeah, that's for sure. I mean, I don't even know if Ruka at least could get it out in some way, shape, or form to ask Coyote out, where he was like crawling up the stairs and then he knocks on the door and he's like, art tools, you, me,
art supplies,
car to drawing.
Yeah.
But she's just like staring at him and she's like trying to telepathically tell him, like, hey, I want to go out with you.
It's a pretty funny moment. Yeah.
And, you know, I guess let's be a little bit fair in our comparison, right? Ruka may have asked Howdy out a little better, but he had hours of standing outside of the door and he had like climbing up the stair. You know, he had a lot of physical obstacles to take over to kind of mentally prepare him for this. Hana just had one pillow and that's, you know, that's not much.
She had the pajamas.
Yeah, I mean, Ruka didn't even have any boot camp training, though, so...
Yeah, he can't wrestle for shit.
That's true.
And she's pretty sure she's stronger than him.
I really wish Hana was like, instead of she tries to go to ask him out and instead she accidentally pile drivers.
That's like suplexes him.
Just like muscle memory kicks in.
Just suplex.
Yeah. She goes to her comfort zone, just boom.
Yeah.
This is what I know.
Jumps off the couch like it's a tumbuckle.
Yeah, it's fucking vicious screen.
And a turnbuckle.
Is that what that's called?
Tumbuckle.
And a turnbuckle, too.
Turnbuckle.
What's a tumbuckle, Colin?
I don't know. I don't know. Wrestling? Okay.
Can we move on, please?
You know, when you throw the people at the rups to get them to come back at you.
God, guys.
You guys are supposed to be the wrestling experts on this show.
I know what I'm saying half the time.
Okay. There's a cage mattress or something? Is that a thing?
Okay. A heck in a sec, yes. let's move this conversation into the girls' room, though, where it's just all the girls getting together. Haruka, Emi, and Han are together. Mm. And this is the scene where Haruka says there are no secrets in the girls' room. And she finally reveals.
You are a fucking physical trainer and you smoke, too.
Yeah, Risako. No secrets.
No secrets in the girls'
room.
No
mercy either.
Yeah, I was like, what the hell?
No secrets.
I'm glad we're past that part because this was an awesome scene in the girls' room. But like when she said no secrets, it's like, but not really, though.
This is totally opposite energy, though. It's like, no secrets. Let's tell each other things. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty ironic, though, coming from Haruka, that's for sure.
Yeah. This is where Haruka, I think this is the first time she explicitly says it to both girls that she's into Pepe. Like, mm-hmm. Full stop. Likes Pepe. Likes the Pokemans with him. I don't know. I mean, it was nice to hear her kind of be like honest about stuff. And this seems like it's coming from a mentality that isn't a grass is greener mentality.
Right. Yeah. That's the good thing about this. Yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. And I'm very happy that we were wrong. We seemed, you know, last week we were kind of worried about how she would get along with Hana because Hana was giving off a Risako kind of vibe. And we all know how that went. But man, it took a really positive turn here. And this was like ended up being a really nice bonding moment with the ladies in the bedroom.
Yeah. So is this, would you guys say that this is Haruka kind of advancing, like making forward progress in her arc, as you would put it, I guess?
Oh, personal growth?
Yeah. That's, yeah.
Potentially. It could be the stars too early.
Yeah, it's early. This is still, remember, her time on Terry's house is a very vertical slice, a very thin vertical slice of her life, you know, so.
That's true. But seeing her open up to the other two girls and just not being all secretive and being honest about her feelings when she said before that she found it really difficult to talk about her feelings is
Yeah,
breath of fresh air.
We know what it's like when it goes wrong, and so I'm glad to see they're not going down that same tried and true path. You know, they're it's a different dynamic now, and I'm here for it.
Yep,
for sure. The other bit of interesting, is that the right word, news that we hear in the girls' room is Emmy kind of reveals her cards a little bit. She, I think, likes Ruka? Question mark.
That's what I got out of it. Which yeah. I was also rather taken aback by, because, man, Ruka, I thought, left a, yeah, I'll use that word, interesting impression with, like, his drawings, his art, and then his obsessively yeah. writing her name and putting it in little hearts. But, hey, maybe that endeared him to her in a way versus creeped out.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Daly. I thought that ship has sailed. You know, I thought he pretty much ruined it there before anything could ever really get off the ground. But they're Super Mario Brothers buddies now, turns out.
Yeah.
Cute.
Wow.
So, Mario's a good wingman.
So this, when she's talking about Ruka, she's saying positive things. She says she likes him, but then it almost veers off into, like, he might be friend zone territory. Whatever, like saying, like, he's my Super Mario Brothers buddy. Like, I don't know. It felt like his stock was falling with her really fast there. Or am I making the wrong observation?
Everyone that he meets, all the girls say the same thing. He's very handsome. Tori-chan's still smitten by him. They love the way he looks. They love his look. And then they get to, you know, go on a few dates. And they realize there's no real future there. We'll see, though. It might actually play out well. But I think that, yeah, I think that he has a shot here. He hasn't sucked it again like we thought with the art.
Okay.
Counterpoint to that. This is following the Risako Ruka train almost to a T. And that both Risako and Ruka bonded very quickly.
For sure.
Stayed up really late playing games together.
Be my boyfriend moment.
Be my boyfriend moment happens.
Then nothing.
But then nothing amounts to it beyond that.
Yeah.
We haven't hit the be my boyfriend moment yet. I don't know if that's going to happen or not, but similar thing here. They're up late together, like late 3 a.m. together playing games.
Guys, it's going to be like 3:30 a.m. the next night. They're playing a very friendly game of Super Mario Brothers together, and they each have one Joy-Con in hand. Okay. Then he says to her, are you going to bed, or when are you going to bed? She goes, oh, whenever, like she does. Then he goes, well, I'm getting pretty tired. So he goes to put away the Joy-Con, reaches in her hand for the Joy-Con. They drop it, and now they're just holding hands, looking slowly over in a dimly lit room. There's a kiss. I want this for him. That's what I want.
And then you hear in the background, the Mario Brothers still going, woohoo!
Yeah, in celebration, yeah.
So here's the thing. Maybe that something like that happens, or maybe Emika sends like some really obvious signals there. But I feel like Ruka just, you could hit him over the head with a signal of some sort and he would just not.
I know, but I want Ruka to be more, a little more assertive. Like he's not, I mean, he will go on dates and he'll take people way too far away on dates, but which he did with Emika already, right? But I would like to see him maybe try and lean in for an invited kiss. Let's get one that's like welcome on Terrace House, please.
I think it would start with at least like, when is the last time Ruka's asked anyone out? Has he just been like kind of gun shy ever since Kaori was like, actually, let's
Emika.
Not.
Emika, yeah.
Yeah.
Are they going out? Has one? He asked her out?
They went on that date. Didn't they go on that route? Yeah.
Date.
They drove down to the peninsula.
Yeah. Remember when Ruka was like really quiet the entire time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And they drove for 3 hours.
He's trying to be so boring. We forgot about it. I'm surprised
now that like she's like into him, even though she already has that experience. Also, yeah, on top of the scary drawing.
That's totally what I'm saying. Like, he hasn't even sunk the ship yet. Like, he must be really looking good looking dude, man.
Bruh.
Yeah.
I mean, when you spend 3 hours in the car with Spider-Man, you learn a thing or two, you know?
What was the, how did you put it, Robert? Did you say she was maybe getting Stockholm Syndrome?
Did I say
trapped?
That?
Yeah.
Like, over those 3 hours, she developed Stockholm Syndrome, just being like, oh, this is terrible. I'm stuck with him. And then like, you know what? He really is really handsome and And maybe it's not so ridiculous. Maybe it wouldn't be the worst. Spider-Man.
This is my captor. I love him.
I'm Mary Jane now.
I always did like her red hair.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Wait. Like, has he had the, like, I want to be Spider-Man conversation with her? Has he just straight up told her that?
Absolutely. Guys, you're acting like you don't watch the show.
Yeah.
She said, watch us just, the joke will be on us. We'll walk in, we'll wake up one morning, he'll be like, hanging on the ceiling. This has already happened over the last few weeks.
And remember, the drawing, one of his drawings was a Spider-Man. Case closed. Look. I know that we're all collectively trying to figure out a reason, like maybe Emmy mislooked something.
We need to go back on the tape.
Because Emmy doesn't even know him. No, she knows him, guys.
Yeah, she knows him.
But the thing is, though, is like I thought Ruka's chances were so god awfully low.
Yeah, I think we're all in shock here
with her. Yeah. That like I almost didn't pay any mind. The time they were spending together.
And especially you forget it because how she reacted when Rio walked into the house and she pepped up like, yeah, you want to go to baseball with me? Da 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 da. Mm. And just the chemistry they have already flirting with each other just out in the gray wide open, you know, in the living room. And so I thought for sure she would say Rio was her crush. And the fact she's coming back with her Super Mario brother buddy, Ruka, again, just a real shock to the system, but I think that's his best chance for Ruka for Ed Love right now in the house. I don't see it happening with definitely not Hana and definitely not Haruka. I think he only has Emmy. That's it
for Ruka. Yeah, this is his. So if this happens, if Emika and Ruka end up together, I mean, do they leave the house? I mean, does Ruka leave the house if he doesn't end up with her? That's the questions that are swirling around in my head.
Because he swings out of the house.
Yes.
They have an upside down kiss first. Come on, guys.
Tobey Maguire style. Yes. I don't know. I think it's still too early to kind of guess at whether they will end up together.
Yeah, are they going
to
leave the house? she just said she likes him a little bit.
Because that's the thing is that Emmy says, you know, she's interested in him, but it's very lukewarm. You know, she also says that it's not necessarily a romantic thing. It's just that I've been spending so much time together with him.
Yeah, you know? I think the door is open still. I just think if Ruka's too passive, you know, then it's going to cool. Just it's exactly like what happened with Risako. It's exactly that same thing, like Robert said. Mm.
The next day, or at least some point in the future from that moment, we go to Gio in Daikanyama. You know, it was me, Gio, where Haruka and Ryo are having brunch together. And Ryo has been here many times before, so he's kind of like a master of the place. And he, you know, this is where he says he's a bit of a foodie, which that might be the first relatable thing that he said, because I for sure as hell can't do basketball.
All right, question for the table. Is this the brunch that Haruka didn't want Hana to go to and didn't invite to? This is that brunch, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just going to say, I'm not here to like critique the food. Maybe I am. I mean, food is a big part of Terrace House, but like, their version of brunch was really gross. It was like this really savory, buttery brown noodle dish with like truffles on it.
Yeah, truffles. Nothing wrong.
Looks delicious. I would eat the shit of it, but and it had Parmesan cheese, but it's like for brunch. I'm Americanized. Yeah, so I'm thinking like sausage, eggs, bacon, you know, omelets, you know, orange juice, milk, coffee, the whole thing.
That's a good point. I wasn't even really, I guess, paying attention to that in hindsight. But, I mean, American breakfast foods, are they even remotely popular in Japan? I really don't know, honestly.
I
mean,
I would at least hope for the Japanese fluffy pancakes that are, like, world famous.
That's true.
You know what I'm talking about? Those big jiggly pancakes? Man, I would hope for that. But when you say brunch, I don't think big bowl of pasta.
No, absolutely not.
I think it wound up being that way just because of like the timing. Like they weren't really like, oh, we're doing brunch, we're going to get like French toast and maple syrup. It's like they were like, we only have so much time in the morning to go and do a thing. So because it's so early, it's technically like more brunch than lunch.
I know I'm biased because, you know, America, but like I really do think like that's one of the things I like about America is their breakfast foods. You know, I mean, Japan, a big common thing they eat for breakfast is fish and rice. I'm just like, it's not necessarily what I would want for breakfast, but hey, do you? And soup.
You know, I was about to say, how dare you put brunch and breakfast in a box? But then I had this moment of deja vu. I swear to God, we have had this conversation before.
Probably.
Listen, man. What breakfast is brunch? Breakfast food and brunch, they're a big deal. All right? They're a big deal. And, I mean, sausage is the best breakfast meat, and I'll end my case there.
Over bacon? What?
Yep. Oh, my God, Daly, I'm back in time. Are we back in time now?
Do we have this exact conversation?
This has happened.
Open and shut case. I mean, we don't have to worry about it. Just stay sausage as your,
all day.
As your overlord. But
Let's get to the meat of the brunch in that we found out some things about that I definitely want to discuss.
Yeah, go ahead. What you got?
I love the pampering thing. He wants to wants to pamper his lady.
He wants
and
to pamper
sweet. Very sweet.
No, it's nice. He's his love language is acts of service, it seems like. And he is preoccupied, I think, officially now. This is like multiple cases now where he talks about Hadouka's hair. He really likes her hair. You know, he notices her hair. When he joked and said, "Oh, Dyson made it look good," and they only did that little piece of it. And then now when he said, you know, I would comb their hair and do chores for them and trim them up or whatever. But you thought that was a good scene, Daly?
Yeah. I was first of all very surprised and then instantly charmed. Like, I haven't really been like, oh yeah, Rio's like great, but like the moment that he was like, oh no, I wanna brush her hair, I'll blow dry it for her, I wanna make breakfast for her, it's like, dang, that's like, it's like that meme, and it's like women only want one thing, and then it's just the picture of him in that moment talking about making breakfast and brushing hair.
Wow, take notes, guys, single guys.
Notes. Really. I mean, genuinely, like, I feel like if she went on to like tell people like in the girls' room, right, about how he was talking about that, like, oh, he like, because there was also the detail that he likes foreign girls, or at least has dated foreign girls before during his time in America. So that was one of those details that I was like, oh,
you okay. You know, I think I kind of tend to agree with what the panel brought up, where he maybe didn't intend for everyone to hear that, and like that was just what he maybe thought would really get in Hadouka's good graces, and you know, and he would have a different response, I think, for the audience. And I'm not saying like he's ingenuine; I don't mean to say it like that, but he is considerate of who he's talking to. You know, he's like I said, he's got the gift of gab. He's just a good conversationalist, just like Emika is, basically.
Yeah, didn't the panelists say something like he seems like the kind of guy who has lined up like, oh, if I'm going to be on a date with Emika, I have like these talking points about her, and if it's with Hadouka, I have these talking points with her, right?
Yeah, he considers his audience, you know? It's not a bad thing.
Oh, man. Yeah. I want to believe.
Yeah, I will say, during this date, I feel like Hadouka could have gotten a little bit more in. Like, I feel like she doesn't say too much. Or am I wrong? Like, maybe it's just the way it was edited, but I feel like there wasn't too much of a response during the date to a lot of the stuff being said. Like, there's a little bit here and there, like, small talk, but then beyond, you know, what Rio was saying, she didn't add much.
I think we know why.
The thing here, the big takeaway, is that they have kind of next steps tentatively planned. Let's do this again when you're free. Definitely. You know, they're going to be continuing
to it seemed like get it went each other better. Is the takeaway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know how much that's going to develop, though, because it seems like Hadouka's pretty taken. You could say that Pepe has captured her heart with a Pokeball.
Yes.
It could be just a, you know, kind of casual, like, oh, yeah, for sure, we'll do it, you know, just keep the peace.
See, the way I read that scene was, because Daly brought up, right, how Hadouka told the girls she did reconnaissance. That's basically that whole scene to me, is that she went on a quote-unquote date with Ryo to learn some intelligence and sneak it back to home base so Hana could learn from that date.
Ah.
Yeah.
That's how I read that whole
Whoa.
Scene. I found no romance or anything like that between them.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And I mean, we very loosely use the word date around here because that's typically, you know, it's like, oh, you went on a date, like, oh, you went on a date. But like, I didn't think that there was any romantic intent whatsoever through this. I think it was just like, hey, we're roommates, let's get to know each other. And then Haruka had the bonus of being like, oh, so tell me about your type, knowing that she has people that are very interested in that information.
She does know that. I would say that I can see her going into that, maybe not being romantic, but how can you not feel positive disposition towards him after his responses? You know, like you said, Dale, you were swooning right there. You know, she could have gone Doki Doki. We'll see. I mean, the good news is we're going to find out. But yeah, her heart is definitely going for Pepe, but I think she's also keeping her options open, I guess, is my take.
Yeah, well, I mean, a good Pokemon trainer knows you can't just have one. You gotta catch them all.
All of them. Damn it, Haruka's gonna try.
How many puns? How many?
Same. So we now go to Kinshicho, right, where we're with Hana, we're at her gym, and she is talking to Jungle Kyona.
Yes.
And Konami, which I know that means something in Japanese, but my brain was just like, where's Kojima? Where's the Metal Gear?
Yeah, where's, I didn't know Konami was a name, like, of a person. I just know,
little,
like,
wave.
I just know what Konami really?
Yeah, little wave.
Means little wave?
Huh.
Well, I just thought Nami, it was a code for 30 lives in Contra.
It's just a little code.
Little code.
Little code.
Okay, now we know, man. Shit, learn every day in Terrace.
Interesting.
Off. Yeah.
Because, yeah, all I was thinking was just, like, Metal Gear. Does love bloom on the ring in the squared circle?
Jeez. I mean, Jungle? Jungle as a name is, like, kind of hype, but at the same time, it's like, I just want an English word that sounds cool, but I'm okay with it.
Dude, I just cannot get over how different Hana is in real life versus her wrestling persona. It is such a good acting job. She's so good at her job. Oh, I don't know. I'm speechless.
I noticed something too, because she was with, like, her friends and she was, like, really comfortable with herself. I definitely noticed, like, and I am totally guilty of this as a woman, but, like, her voice was so much deeper. Like, just, like, hanging out and chatting versus, like, when she's like, oh, Ryo, like, why did you come to Terrace House?
Yeah, I wonder if that's just a subconscious. I wonder if that's especially so because, you know, it's Ryo, he's so hot. Kakoi, you know.
I mean, in the whole scene, she was talking about how she feels like she worries about being feminine enough, and if, like, her job is a turnoff for guys.
Yeah, that, I mean, it seems like a pretty big concern for her. It's gotten brought up at least twice now that I can remember.
I can totally understand it, the why that would be a concern for her. Obviously, she got burnt in the past before, and so she's, you know, got some hang-ups about it.
I mean, that's a good way to have some insecurity about that too. That's rough, man.
Well,
she does not mean the right guys is what it comes down to.
Right.
True. Jungle Kyona at least comes in clutch with that advice and is like, look, if you're interested in a guy and they're turned off by what you do for a living, they're not worth your time.
Yeah,
don't even bother.
Yes. Yeah, yeah,
I'm pretty, yeah, that's pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we brought that up last week too on our show.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it goes without saying. It's
it's good that she has a friend that says that, like, not just a friend, I guess, but someone who shares in her profession. You know, to say that to her. Yep. To her
backing
face.
That up.
Yeah, yeah. And this is themes that we've explored too in, like, past Terrace House episodes. But, like, don't change yourself for another person. Ever.
Yeah. Right.
Ever. Mm. That's just, like, life, you know, just pro tips here.
Mm. Exactly.
So I want to skip a little bit ahead because we've been dwelling a lot on these early scenes here. I want to get to Shinkiba in the gym, in the wrestling match. It's happening where Hana Kimura takes the stage. And that's her stage name, by the way, just Hana Kimura, which is cool.
Yeah, I guess so.
She takes the squared circle. She wrestles with a girl named Ayumi. And all five of the Terrace House members are there watching, but then things get rowdy, and Haruka just kind of uses an old man as a shield and dips the fuck out.
Okay, hold on. Don't jump too far ahead. Okay, so who saw Hana as a cyber goth? Hello, holy crap!
That was awesome. Like, yeah, she has the whole cyber goth thing going on.
Wow,
and I was like, oh, the braids make sense now.
Yeah,
and
totally I was like, this, makes, like, sense.
This all goes together now. Yeah.
It's a whole package, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm here for it, though. I'm here for it.
I loved the juxtaposition of her like leaving the house in like a sick mask and then showing up in the ring with like a gas mask.
Oh, man.
I thought that she'd keep that on like as a professional courtesy during the wrestling. Like, I'm going to beat the shit out of you, but I don't want to get you sick.
And she ends up being the bad guy. I wasn't expecting that either. I mean, you know, they get really intense and violent, but she was kind of the heel for this one. For the smaller girl to like, you know, win the love and affection of the audience and come back and defeat her at the end. Mm. It was, man, it was really cool. One thing that stood out to me as well when they were introing the wrestlers was, I think this is a Japanese culture thing, just how quiet the audience is in the beginning out of like respect. It's like a respect thing. And it's like, you go to a wrestling match in America or even boxing match or whatever, like people are screaming their heads off, especially when people are getting introed and stuff. And I was just like, oh, you could hear a pin drop in this ring and you know there's people there. There's a decent amount of people there. It's not empty at all. And it's just so quiet. It's like, whoa. Any thoughts on that?
I mean, it was generally Cybergoth.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it was a generally smaller place, but even so, yeah, it was pretty quiet at that point. But even when the match starts, it's definitely not the roar that I'm used to hearing at, like, say, a WWE match or something like that.
I think it's
definitely not as many signs.
I liked the very, like, courteous. It sounded like it could have just been in the subway, like, the courteous message, like, please stay clear of the aisles. Please stay clear of the, while these two women are, like, coming at each other with metal pipes in the aisles and people are scrambling backward.
trying to decapitate each other, basically. And, like, I don't know if they planned it this way, but they cleared the aisles, right? And then Hana literally threw the other girl at the roommates, basically where they are. Yeah. And Ryo's reaction is like, oh my God. He's like, oh my God, it was so funny to me. That was such a good
moment. Ryo was such a great audience member for this whole thing.
Yeah.
He's like, wow, Hana, like cheering her on and like booing when they were supposed to boo. And then he's like, oh my God, he might as well have commentated the thing.
You know, I gotta wonder if he maybe picked that up by going to college basketball games and other college sports, football specifically in America. You know, I wonder, you know, because he really gets super into it. He doesn't care if he's too loud. Obviously, you know, we discussed he's gotten probably reprimanded for being too loud in Japan. But that's how you have fun, man, I think, at a sporting event, especially professional wrestling. Like, you got to be rowdy, too, to just kind of match the energy.
Oh, yeah.
He did warn us. He was like, we're going to be the loudest ones cheering.
Yeah. And they were. And then, like, to Robert's point, Haruka, man, she's just a magnet. She just finds the oldest man around that she possibly can, uses him as a human shield. Like, get me an old man stat.
Dude, the scene, I will never forget her face. And note, this should probably be a thumbnail, where she was like scooting away against like the banner and she was like trying to hop away. She looks so fucking scared.
It's like she's never been to a wrestling match before. She's definitely seemed to be taken off guard here.
You know. She literally flies down the quarter mile doing like 150 miles per hour, but she was petrified.
She was terrified. She
saw somebody get body slammed.
I mean, it was violent.
It was very violent.
Do you think because she's an actress, like, you remember she did that stage combat thing with Ruka and Shohei, and she was actually like pretty good at it. Do you think she assumed like, oh, this is all acting, wrestling's fake anyways, this isn't going to be real.
There's
and then
real
she gets there, it's like, oh, fuck.
I mean, the chick really falls down the stairs when Hana kicks her down there. You know what I mean? Like, you can only take a bump so well.
That image of her just standing up on the stairs, like, pointing as her foe is fallen. That's like, whoa.
And then Pepe has just the best reaction, too. He's just cracking up. He's like, Sugoi.
he's like, this is amazing.
This is awakening something in me.
I mean, it was better than I expected. You know, I guess they're right. Like, Japanese wrestling is lit.
Oh yeah,
yeah, dude. I hope we get more. I want more. Give me more.
It's entertaining. Same. You cannot say that was not entertaining.
Absolutely.
Actually, something too that I just want to throw in while we're here. The intro for this, the shitro for this episode, is the first time we get to see Hana, right, in the shitro.
Yeah.
Her montage is just full of these dope ass wrestling moments.
Dude, this is Sparta. Yes. She chest kicks that one fool.
Yeah, it's like, pretty fucking good.
And then, and she's such a heel too. She's a total bad guy, a Cybergoth bad guy, because she loses. What does she do? She attacks the ref and they have to have a squad pull her off the ref.
Yeah.
She's like grabbing him by the hair and like threatening to like beat his face in.
Because she lost the match. It's so funny. And I don't know, I didn't expect her to lose either. You think she's the protagonist because she's Tara's house. Oh, so clearly she's a good guy. She's gonna win. I loved how it subverted everyone's expectations. I love this much better because
outside the ring, she's like the sweetest person in the house.
Yeah. I was about to say, because I love how we go from that, like seeing her just like kick the shit out of someone, and then she's just on the couch like, yeah, I'm tired.
I can't look at him. He's too cute. Oh, man.
Which wrestler did you like the most? Oh, I like you, Hana. You were the best wrestler.
Also, please don't hurt me.
Well, Rio, I think, is the only one who could survive.
Dude, survive. Pepe would be snapped in half.
Not win.
Survive.
Yeah. Yes. I wonder what Ruka's take on the whole thing is. I wonder if Ruka was scared or if he was just excited as Rio and Pepe were. But Pepe called this out earlier, too, when they first met. He said, wow, she's, for a wrestler, she's nothing like I thought she'd be like. She's just like your normal, average, everyday girl. And she has a switch, though. She's got a beast. She's got a demon there.
Beast mode.
It is fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, Jack, you kind of have an idea of what that's like, though, because, like, you know, performing on a stage, it is kind of like a switch,
mm-hmm.
you know,
yeah.
like us playing in bands and stuff. It's way different. I saw that one of my favorite memes is like it was like metal vocalist on stage, and it was like a picture of a T-Rex. And then it was like a metal vocalist off stage was like teddy bear.
Yeah, definitely. She's on stage and she comes from an entertainment family. Her mom, you know, I'm sure taught her well, and it's showing because she's so good for being so young, too. Only 4 years in,
for sure. As her reward for doing so well today,
oh my god,
Rio offers, we'll make you any dish you want, which sounds heavenly, right? That's amazing, especially because he knows how to cook, allegedly, right? I mean, he's cooked himself breakfast many times before, and she says, "I want it to be omurice," and Rio makes the only bad tactical decision he's made so far in his tenure in Terrace House, and ropes in Ruka to help out with cooking.
Hi, my name is Ruka, and I know how to make omurice.
Okay, everyone that's listening to this podcast right now, you have homework. You're going to go to YouTube. We're not going to link this, but you're going to go to YouTube. You're going to search this, the most awesome omurice in Kichi 2, Kyoto, Japan. And this is that quintessential video. If you know what I'm talking about with omurice, everyone knows it. If you haven't, though, you're welcome when you watch this. It is like straight pornographic omurice. It's so incredible.
I know exactly which video you're talking about.
A lot of people do, but it's famous. I mean, it's got like over 11 million views as of this time right now. Anyways, just keep in mind, that's what Ruka was trying to make. And this is like an episode of Nailed It on Netflix too, where you just like, oh my god, like that was the goal, and we all saw what the end result was for him.
I will warn our listeners, if you haven't already paused to go watch that video, if you are hungry right now, don't, because it will make it so much worse.
It'll make you want to fly to Kyoto for that dish.
Yes. Go eat a snack and then go watch the video and then come back to us.
Yes.
Yeah. And as beautiful as that particular omurice is, I have watched this video and I do admit to drooling.
You can't not.
Like, it's pretty simple. I mean, like, you can make a pretty, like, good but bastardized version of just like make some rice, ketchup, other things that you like, maybe some mushrooms, maybe some chicken, etc., and then just put an omelet on top of it. Somehow this formula is too much for Ruka, and he makes scrambled eggs.
It is the saddest thing. And so I haven't even tried to make this particular type of omelet for omurice, because it is like you need to have good techniques. You need to have a really hot pan. Like, it is very, very easy to mess this up. And so Ruka ends up making scrambled eggs. He's like, don't worry, we'll use saran wrap and form the eggs into one blob on top. And it's just the saddest shit. I mean, still at the end of the day, it's going to be rice and eggs. So it's going to taste good.
It's still good.
Yeah.
Can I just say, for the darndest thing Ruka says this week, I love the moment of realization for him that it was scrambled eggs, because all he does is look down and say, somehow I have made scrambled eggs.
You know? Like, Rio's like, Ruka, how did you do that?
Look, there's a pretty crucial point where you start to realize an omelet is becoming scrambled eggs. It is definitely not at the point where you realize I have made scrambled eggs.
Oh, man. Hey, don't worry, man. I'm going to nail this on this nail. Almost going to be great. It's gonna, and I make scrambled eggs.
And it's sunny side up. What the fuck?
I think we've all been there, haven't we?
Sunny side up.
In our journeys to be better egg connoisseurs and preparers of eggs, like we've tried to make a certain kind of egg, fucked it up, and all right, it's just going to be scrambled eggs now. I've definitely been there. Yeah.
You know how you 100%. Got there, though. You know the steps that were taken versus like, what? This is scrambled.
This is just scrambled. Okay. I just love how? The like the just the completely futile attempt to recreate what they tried, and then they end up cutting the omelet in half. It's supposed to like spill open, right? Yeah. And be this glorious, gooey, eggy awesomeness. It just ends up they cut it in half and it just flips over and flops onto the plate. And like I said, it's gonna taste delicious. I actually want some right now, but it's just when you see what they're trying to do, it's really funny.
Shout out to Gordon Ramsay's custard scrambled eggs.
Yo.
And I love how in this moment, Ruka tries to justify it by saying, food isn't about appearance, which I'm going to call bullshit just a little bit.
When you're starting out, yeah.
Yeah, and then Ryo backs him up at least, and it's like, it's about flavor and heart. Which I'll get.
Just like
I'll
people.
Yes. People are about flavor and heart.
Not nice save, but also Japan is probably the craziest about picturesque food, like just photogenic ass beautiful food.
Also, a significant moment here is this is really the first time with the three of them sitting at this table where Hana is acting normal around Ryo, right? Like they're
you're right.
She's not smiling. She's not covering her mouth. She's just looking at them. They're nodding. They're talking about what it means to be a pro basketball player. It's cool to see some kind of normalization going on, and it had to happen at some point.
So you're saying the through line here is food. When she's eating, she's fine.
I would say tired. I think it's more that she was so tired.
Oh, that makes a lot more sense.
She didn't have the energy
to be forgot to be
shy.
Embarrassed.
She forgot to be shy. She just had that
match,
dude.
Yeah, she's hungry. She had that match. Yeah, she's got other things on the brain. But guys, we move on to the next scene, and the Terrace House gods have blessed us because I never thought we would hear this term ever again. And here we are. The three girls are out shopping, and what are they looking for? Loungewear. We're about to have another loungewear moment. This is clearly so good.
They don't watch Terrace House.
That's exactly what I was thinking. I was like, do y'all watch? Like, have you watched past seasons?
Have
like,
you done your
because...
homework?
Or
are
was
you
it
Napoleon?
Like, I'm different. I can do this better and it won't be weird and cringy.
She's different. Also, it's not for Hikaru either, who was a dick at that time too and made that whole thing way worse.
You know? I will say though, this version of it does also fail, but I'm not going to blame it on the PJs because the PJs were in fact very cute, very plaid.
Everyone loved them.
Oh, they were great. Yeah. I think the fault here was more on Hana being way too shy to do anything about it.
But I just love that loungewear was a central theme. It's just bringing me back to BGITC. And also just the three girls hanging out, bonding. It was an awesome time. They had a blast. Man, this whole episode, I just thought top to bottom.
Chef
kiss.
Yes.
I have something to admit. I don't know, because apparently this was common knowledge, but I don't know what a negligee is.
I'm worried that when you say it, you're going to cross a bridge that you can't uncross.
He just said it. Let him say it again.
I just said it.
Say it again.
I said, I'm not really sure what a negligee is. A negligee, is that you said that? Negligee?
I warned you, Colin.
Listen. I am here to learn. You are witnessing my journey.
I'm here to learn. How did you get through college without knowing what a negligee is? Just saying, Daly, I'm going to throw the ball to you, even though you're not asking for it. Please.
Okay. Oh. Y'all, you might have noticed that the Japanese word that they're using is a borrow word. It's One Piece, which isn't One Piece, the manga, but rather it's a One Piece. It's a dress. It's a nightie.
Teddy?
What is another like English? Yeah, kind of like a teddy. Not like overtly sexual, because you could like get away with wearing it like in like we're just hanging out in the living room, but like a more attractive nightgown. Like grandma wouldn't be wearing it, but I wouldn't be like it's not inherently seductive.
Okay, what I like the eyebrows there, but what makes something delve into
audio format?
What makes something delve into negligee territory? What's the difference? Is it lace?
I guess like
is it silk?
Like it's spaghetti straps versus like thicker or like sleeves. I'd say that's where you're at. It's like a sundress for sleeping.
Whoa.
I'll go with that.
Yeah.
There we
it's
are.
It's a sleepy sundress.
Yeah.
Sleepy sundress.
It's typically silken.
Never heard that word. I don't think I'd ever heard that word before that this episode.
Negligee? You just heard that word first time? Well,
I swear.
Things.
I swear.
I'm going to say it. It's like negligee.
Negligee.
Yeah.
Negligee.
Is it French?
I think like so. Sounds French.
I think all lingerie is a French word, right? French made, that's where that comes from, right? I'm assuming.
Hey, it's pronounced lingerie. Thank you very much.
Lingerie, yep.
Lingerie.
A negligee.
Oh, that sounds creepy, actually.
It's because your eyes lingerie on it.
Oh, so, I get it.
So they go to a place for this negligee called Kid Blue.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Robert.
Kid Blue. I was going to go to the next place, the restaurant place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, go ahead.
I mean, did you have anything about Kid Blue? I mean, it's Kid Blue.
Kid Blue.
It's just the first
thing. They had stuff.
The first thing they Kid picked Rock. Up to me screamed more like negligee nightgown kind of thing. I think just what they, you know, not to critique or whatever, but like what they ended up taking home just looked like straight up just by color by numbers, by the book, pajamas.
PJs.
Yeah, I wouldn't have called that a negligee or anything like that. That's all.
I mean, but didn't Hannah say that she wasn't looking for a negligee? She didn't want to come off too sexy.
Yeah, I think that was the thing. And
yeah, she was like, it's not me. It would be very obvious.
Also,
it's not her.
To call out our boy, Eden Kai, friend of the show. He also told us when we talked to him that he wanted to get pajamas because he never had them before. And he felt that now that he has roommates, he should have some formal form of pajamas. And so that's got to be like what Hannah's thinking here, too. You know, I mean, you know, I don't know what y'all wear when you're about to go to bed. Me, it's just usually tank tops, boxers, whatever. But I would probably put on more clothes and thinking about it if I had a roommate situation going on.
I wear a negligee.
Okay. Well, there you go. Well, you're just ahead of the game, dude. Talk about 3D chess. Yeah.
That's also why I'm very curious why Colin doesn't know what it is.
It's like you'll never pay attention to me, Colin.
You know that sexy little thing I wear to bed.
I've been trying to get you to notice for months. Notice me.
I learned something today. Thank you very much.
He's speechless.
There it is. I don't know what to tell you. I never heard that word, and I'm pretty sure nobody back home that I grew up with knew what the fuck that was.
Well, that I'd believe.
I do believe that, yeah.
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 But after shopping for loungewear, the girls go to Gapao Shokudo in Ebisu, where they have a little bit of dinner together. This is just some more girls bonding moment, which is really nice. It's very friendship and very cool and not at all like awkward back when, no offense, but back when Kaori, Haruka, and Risako hung out together, it felt there was just like that tension, you know? But this, I didn't sense any personally, and this is where, again, no secrets, Hana says that she usually loses her cool when she has a crush, which no shit, Sherlock.
What do you Robert, what do you mean
not lose her cool? I thought she said lose confidence when she has a crush.
Yeah, she like, well, okay, yeah, lose her confidence. Yeah.
Oh, okay
yeah, she's
not like
she gets a little frazzled.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, no, she doesn't get mad. That's for the ring. That's saved for in the squared circle.
Got it
Yeah. But she gets a little worried, like, oh, am I a little too tan? Are my shoulders too wide, etc.
And the thing,
sad.
The thing is, too, though, she says to Haruka, she says, you know, please tell me if you ever get a crush on him. You just wonder, you know, like, what would happen if multiple people start getting a crush on Ryu? And then I think she turns to Emika and she goes, oh, please tell me. And then Emika goes, I might. You know, she's keeping the door open, which is the honest answer in that. So, but there's still, you know, there's still a really good dynamic going on with these girls. They, for whatever reason, they just get along really well. It's awesome. They can talk openly about this kind of thing. So I felt no ill will here or any kind of like weird extradition of information. It was just three girls hanging out, having a good time.
Yeah.
You know, it's real friendship when you can do like the casual touching. Like I saw, I saw like messing with her braids.
Mm-hmm.
She was like, just like, oh, just grab your braid. And then when they were like laughing to death, Hana actually like went all the way into Emmy's lap, like,
yeah,
bent over, LMFAOing. It was really cute. I really appreciated like people being friends. Like, I miss that about Terrace House. That's what I came here for.
Totally.
And that's what I've been wanting, and now I'm getting that in spades.
We're here. And yeah. Does anyone remember what Haruka brings up, her concern there, or when they're talking about their insecurities, what she's insecure about?
I think she wishes her lingerie were bigger. Is that is that it?
Lingerie.
And by lingerie, he means opai.
Yeah. I mean, you know it's true friendship when you can say that stuff around your friends, right? Like, I don't know. Apparently, both Haruka and Emika actually have this little bit of a complex where they wish that their boobs were a little bigger when they're, like, into a guy.
Only then. Hmm. Only then do they want them to be... Like, yeah, they just inflate upon...
If only we could shapeshift.
Oh, man. And then
it's going to be like... yeah.
Go.
Now, I was going to say, what the hell were those shoes that you could pump up?
Oh, jeez.
Pumped up kicks?
They made those jokes back in the 90s, too, with those pumps.
Yeah.
But I think it's pretty funny too. They start clowning a little bit on Ryo, you know, making light of it. I mean, they're all attracted to him, but they also their joke, or Haruka at least is leading the joke in that his eyes apparently droop down, which I never really noticed. But they all have a good laugh.
That impression had me in tears.
Yeah, they had a good laugh about that. Did anyone notice that before? She pointed it out. I don't think I did.
Nay, Hana.
Well, yeah, if you didn't notice it before.
Yeah.
That was the funnier thing for me, is Haruka's voice, like, hey, Hana. Like, really, like, low. He's like, hey, Hana.
Hey, Hana. You want to go to lunch? We should get lunch.
I love too that when Haruka did that, Hana couldn't look into her eyes. Like, they were intimidating her too much.
Oh my god!
He's here. It's like he's here.
It's really him.
It's just interesting. Still, I know we've said it already, but to see that Hana can get intimidated by anything out of the ring, you know, like, you just think, like, no, she's just stalwart and stoic, but she does. She's just a normal person, man.
Yeah, but give her a steel pipe and she'll beat the shit out of anything.
She'll break your face.
Yeah. So we get back to the house. We're in the first floor. Pepe's working real hard on his manga. Yet another Kakarot drawn on the board, so I get the sense that maybe Pepe likes Dragon Ball, maybe.
Most likely.
Yeah, and then the girls come downstairs, and the first thing Pepe notices when he looks up, oh, you've got new PJs. It's a good sign. Mm, you know, it's a good start. The girls move into the boys' room, knock, knock. They open up the door, and Ryo wakes up. He was sleeping because he has an early game tomorrow, but he's nice and is like, no, I'll be up for you. And he also notices the PJs, too.
Guys, though, we get too far, fucking Ruka's clothes are everywhere. What is this boy doing with his day? Even Pepe, I think, like, warned them, like, be careful if you go in there, because Ruka's clothes are everywhere. And then they showed it, and it's, like, on every piece of furniture. Like, I paused it when they went in that room, because it was so dirty. Like, the table, clutter all over it, floor, all the furniture had clothes all over it. I was like, who are these boys?
Jack, can I paint a picture for you?
Ugh. I already see one.
Ruka is Spider-Man. Under his clothes all the time, he has a Spider-Man leotard on. He gets a notification on his phone. Oh no, someone's robbing the bank. Do you think this hero has time to neatly fold up his clothes and put them away?
So whenever we don't see him, he's just keeping
them off.
He's just keeping Tokyo safe.
Yes. I'm saying that he probably just like threw off his clothes because there is no time to fold shit. He's gotta get out there and thwip and save the bank.
But in real life though, why the fuck are there his clothes everywhere? And it just seems to be just him too.
He knows exactly where every article of clothing is.
Even in an episode where he's barely in it, there's still some kind of Rukaism in it.
Yeah, it's great. Mm. But then I do love this moment here where the girls are in the room, the boys' room with Ryo, and then Haruka's like, cool, I'm going to go outside and talk to Pepe. And Emmy's like, okay, bye. Oh, wait, me too.
That was so awkward. I actually thought Hana might have gotten mad at that. I thought maybe she got her feelings hurt by that and was going to be a little like, why'd you do that to me? But it worked out well.
Yeah.
It worked out.
Yeah.
And then Hana's like, hey, so do you You want to go see the girls' room?
Yeah, Ruka comes out of the
venue change.
Ruka comes out of the bath. Yeah. He's dripping wet. Yeah, and so they eventually get up, and it's like I think Ryo was like, he was saying, "Yeah, I got to wake up early, but I'll wake, you know, I'll get up since you guys want to talk." And now he's going upstairs. So he was 5 minutes ago about to go to sleep. Now he's going upstairs.
He's got the energy, man.
Yeah,
but then yeah, they migrate upstairs. But first, Emmy and Haruka are like, "Hold on, let's clean." Because of the panty scramble.
Which, was that the TM, I don't know if it was a panty scramble. What are we doing?
Panty scramble.
Yeah. they clean up all their underwear.
I like how they clearly wanted to support, like, oh, yeah, you can go talk alone there. But then it was like, wait.
Now we got to clean
our
room.
Do I have panties out? Like the way they like darted in front to go up the stairs. And it's like, wait a minute.
Okay. Weird question. Is the concern like they did laundry and clothes are out and they just haven't put them away yet and he might see my clean panties? Or is the concern like I just do what Ruka does and just take panties off at will and they're just strewn about the room? Like, real question. Like, what do you think? What is the
first question? Do people take off their panties not at will? Because that's worrisome.
Extremely
worrisome.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean. I'm just saying, like my question is, if it's just laundry strewn about, like, is it that big a deal if he walks in, there's just, like, clean laundry sitting there? Is that a bad thing?
I mean, I mean, yeah.
I wouldn't let you guys in my house if I had, like, laundry. Like, oh, I didn't fold my laundry yet.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, the same way. I don't think I'm going to let a girl come into my apartment with my boxer briefs strewn about, like, my delicates,
your negligees.
There's multiple negligees.
Yeah,
negligees, refugees.
Yeah. Yikes, different things.
Yeah. Well, so yeah, they go up to the girls' room now, and they're there. And after it's cleaned up, they're like, "Okay, you can come in, Ryo." And the energy is just so awkward and so quiet,
and
to the point
where
Emmy says, "I don't know why, but I'm nervous."
It's painful, and it looks like I felt like Ryo was being like a real trooper here, because he was very clearly tired. The man wanted to go to sleep, but he wasn't gonna say like, "Okay, get on with it," or he had cottoned on to the vibe of like, she wants to say something to you, but she's too shy girl.
Mm. Oh, man. It was a very high school moment, I feel like. Right? Wasn't this whole day kind of like high school, like girls going out, talking about the guys, going to ask out the
guy? Definitely. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I've definitely had some chick friends in school where, like, I've gone to their house and then, like, that stuff sort of happens. And I don't know. Yeah, it's very much high school. Flashbacks.
It is very painful. And I love that Emmy kind of fixes the situation by changing the subject and being like, "Oh, I think my debut episode goes up tonight. Do we all want to go literally anywhere else to change the atmosphere and watch that?"
And they went on that painting scramble too, and it was like for not, basically. We're just gonna change rooms again.
Pretty much. And then they go to the playroom. Tour. And it's still awkward there. It still feels a little bit weird, right? I don't know. This is just like the shyness of Hana kind of overbearing the situation a little.
Really? Yeah, she's starting to choke.
Everyone's just kind of like peering over at her, and they're like, you going to, like, you know, the thing?
The longer it goes on, the worse it gets for everybody involved. Yes. So it's just thank you, Ryo, for catching on, reading the room, doing what needed to be done.
Yeah, he's like, you want to hang out? And everyone's like, thank God.
Well,
thank you.
It wasn't just, he didn't say it out of nowhere. Like, she definitely had to prime him. She's like, so, you've gone out with Haruka. You've gone out with Emika, huh? You're going out again, huh? He's like, let's go.
It's on a silver platter for her to just be like, let's hang out. Yeah. But instead, she doesn't deliver. And then he comes in and has to say, let's hang out.
The way he said it, too, is he used ageru, which is like, I'll do this for you.
Oh, like, really?
Oh,
I'm giving you something.
Doing you a favor.
Oh no!
Funny.
Oh,
and like, then and then
I didn't read it as like, oh, I guess I'll have to do this. It felt like I treated them. Now let me treat you.
It's like I think that adds more to the humor to why it was so funny to everyone in the room too, because they all start cracking up as soon as he said it. So that makes sense. Haruka especially is like literally rolling over laughing.
Mm. But it's nice, I guess, that they finally have a date on the books. We'll see how that goes. But I'm honestly worried because I thought Ruka and Emmy would be the worst date I've seen so far on the show. Mm-hmm. But it turns out it was mildly successful enough where Emmy's kind of into Ruka. So now I'm worried that this upcoming date between Hana and Ryo is going to be the worst.
No.
Because it's just going to be Hana just like picking up literally any, like a plate and just putting it in front of her face and being
No.
How's work going?
So I appreciate that take, but here's why it's going to work. Because Ryo's going to do everything. He's going to plan it all top to bottom. She's not going to need or do anything or make any plans here. I think Ryo's going to take charge. And I think he's really going to shine here and make it comfortable. And he might really like start getting people on the internet, they're not already swooning over him, they're going to swoon over his social skills here this next date. That's what I think might happen.
Mm. This is his time
to... There's no pillows.
Yeah, this is his time to crush it. I think Ryo, being the conversationalist that he is, I think he can come across as disarming. You know?
Yeah, and a more important note here is that I don't know, and we brought this up previously before, but I don't know that if she keeps this kind of behavior up, like, I don't know if Ryo is going to be able to take her seriously, you know, among the other two girls in the house. So that to me is the bigger concern rather than her being too shy, because they've already had kind of normal conversations over the shitty omurice. But we need a nickname for that omurice, man. That was a tragedy. But
panty scramble.
That's panty scramble. Eggs.
But
I was thinking shomu rice. That one's better though.
But I think Ryo's gonna shine here. I think I have high hopes for this. Not high hopes, but I think it's gonna go well.
I guess my worry is, even if he does everything for her, roll out the red carpet, get a reservation to the best place in town, her favorite food, none of that's gonna change if she still can't look him in the eyes. Like, if you can't look your date in the eyes, no matter how nice they are, no matter how much they do for you. GG, that's the end.
You know,
like,
it'll start like that, but then watch them get a couple drinks up in them. Then it's gonna get real fun.
we'll see.
Yep. Yeah,
yep.
We'll see,
guys. In the words of Yama John, Terrace House is now finally plastered in the color of love. The whole vibe,
or just plastered,
plastered.
The whole vibe, though, the house is completely different than just last week, even. You know, oh man, it's just really good.
Yeah, like it's all lovey-dovey, but it's also very friendshipy, right?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, because they could have totally ended this episode on that scene where Ryo's like, okay, let's hang out, right? That could have been like a
totally moment.
But then, you know, we cut to the panel, and then we have this last scene here with Yo and Pepe. And it's just Ryo walking in, or no, it's Ryo just chilling in the boys' room. Pepe walks in. Hey, boys!
Hey, boys!
Dude, he's so fucking good. Italian. His Italian accent is so thick.
Wow. Yeah. He walks in, says that, and they just have this really good friendship moment. Like, on the level of Taka and Shohei from Opening New Doors, when they, like, cry with each other while eating, I think it was, like, yakiniku, right? And it's just like, watch me, I'll become famous as long as you watch, right? Mm. I got a similar vibe here where Ryo was saying, you know, watching you day in, day out work on manga has inspired me to keep working hard on the basketball court. And Pepe's basically like, ditto. Like, seeing you work day in, day out, fucking toning those six packs has made me want to keep drawing
his
my
multiple
manga.
Six packs.
His multiple six packs. I don't know. It was just a cool moment of like these two masters of their craft inspiring one another.
Yeah, you know? Yeah, absolutely. You don't get to see these one-on-one moments very often. Go ahead, Colin.
Yeah, and we find out that Ryo got elected captain of his basketball team, like,
captain.
Officially. Yeah, so he's making it happen, man.
Dude,
look at me. I'm the captain now.
I wonder if we're going to see our boy Ryo in the Olympics, which, by the way, as an aside, during the shit show, I don't know if you noticed, they do show the Olympic Coliseum in Tokyo being built.
Right. Yeah. They have been seeing that. The foreshadowing is there. Clip. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that's why I think they even named it Tokyo 2019-2020. I honestly think it had to do with the Olympics co-promotion. Yeah. But Ryo, Captain Ryo. We had Captain Tsubasa. Now we got Captain Ryo. And the part that stood out to me there is before they ever started getting all lovey-dovey and hugging each other in the room was Pepe's PTSD came out. And he's like, he's looking for Ruka. He's like, Where's Ruka? Oh, God, have we seen him? Is he gone? You know, he's like, no, don't worry. He'll be back later. He's just busy. But
apparently, Ruka's going to be out all night with friends.
Yeah.
I'm thinking, like, who?
Who?
Like, Doc Ock?
He does that a lot. He says, you know, people ask him what he did all day or what he's going to do. He's like, oh, I'm hanging out with friends. And so he's got a lot of friends.
He's patrolling. Yes. He's patrolling.
Yeah.
The streets. Oh, so the
neighborhood
friends,
friendly.
The friends don't really exist, you're saying. That's his cover story.
The sinister six.
His good friend, Harry Osborn. Mm. You know, that Osborn guy. Mm-hmm. James Franco.
It's literally James Franco.
Yes.
James Franco.
Yeah. And I guess before this all ends, Pepe does explicitly at this point finally reveal who the girl he had a crush on is. It's not Hana, like Daly thought. It's not Emika, like Jack thought.
Yeah.
It's Haruka.
Yeah.
Pokemon Go girl.
The power of the Pokeballs.
Mm-hmm. Seriously. Like, he was like, you just don't see cute girls that are into Pokemon. And I was just here like, I guess I'm not cute.
Oh, excuse me. So much
Pokemon stuff, guys. Oh. I was like offended.
I think in America that's way easier to find, I think. I was surprised to hear them say that too. In Japan.
What? I mean, Pokemon started in Japan. It's pretty big there.
But no, what to his point, saying it's hard to find cute girls. I'm saying, like, I'm just saying, like, in America, I wouldn't have said it's hard to find, you know?
Yeah, he's like finding a girl who likes childish games like I do. And it was like, oh, childish. I mean, people of all ages play that.
Yeah. And the reason why I thought he was in Emika is because how he was reacting when Ryo first came in that first night and Emika showed all that enthusiasm for what's going on.
Yeah,
you know, Pepe was definitely like, you know, bros before hoes, quote unquote, but really not. You know, so that was tipping his hand. But it really is the power of the Pokemon, power of video games. They're bonding. They're the only ones that have that hobby, because it's strange, because I guess Ruka likes Super Mario Brothers but doesn't play Smash Brothers and doesn't play Pokemon. That was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was weird. I don't know. I was definitely not expecting Pepe to say that he was into Haruka, though. I mean, I seriously thought he was all in on Emika.
Yeah.
Up to that point, I thought he really liked the way their date went. And the only reason he hadn't been on another date is because he's been manga-ing away. But turns out that was actually partially true. The only time he's gotten a day off was the last time he went out with Haruka and they drank IPAs and played Pokemon. And he wants to do that again.
So pure-hearted that he was like, I just work until I can hang out with her. Like, that's like what his goal is. Like, he's like blowing through 7 pages, which is like, holy shit, dude, that's a lot. When it comes to manga, especially him sitting there with those like Copic markers, if he's doing like color, like full color illustration, damn, he really has his eye on that North Star of Haruka.
And can I just say here, points for Ryo, because when Pepe said, oh, today was such a hard day, I worked so hard today, I made 7 pages, right? If you don't know anything about manga, it's kind of easy to think, like, only 7's, like, not even 2 digits. You know, it could be very easily to construe it as, like, an easy day. Like, why are you complaining? But Ryo was still nice. It was like, because he comes off as someone who doesn't maybe know the process behind manga, but he just asks, oh, is that, like, a lot of work? Pepe's like, yeah. I was like, oh, damn, dude, sorry, like, you know, proud of you, right? Yeah. Like, it was just, I don't know, it was just like this nice moment of two very different, I think, like we've alluded before, brains versus bronze, right? Two very different people from very different walks of life finding understanding with each other.
Yeah. And I love, one of my favorite parts here to close out the show was when Ryo was like, yeah, she's pretty, right? She's cute, right? And then Pepe's response was, you know, I like the way she looks, you know, but she also says funny things, like when she talks about Pokemon. It's like,
and she has a Corvette that helps.
I mean, yeah, he hasn't even seen me yet as far as we know.
He wants to ride in it,
but
he wants to ride and he wants her to drive.
The reason why this is going to go well is because Haruka says the same things about him, that she values how much he likes Pokemon. She brought that up too. So this is like, this is,
and he's funny.
Yeah, yeah, there's some. Funny. This is some real shit right here. These are real true like confessions.
True.
Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I hope so. I really hope it works out for them. We'll see though. And it's also dawning on me now. We only have like 3 episodes left.
Really?
Before part 2 is over. Yeah, we're getting close.
Oh shit!
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just feels like we've been doing this for a while that it's kind of like, oh, part 2 ending? That'll never get here.
Yeah.
Never.
There it is.
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah, we were working through, though. We were working through. We were recording episodes quite a lot for a good while.
Yeah, we can't complain either because I'm sure there's people that binged all 12 of these episodes, like, you know, yeah, the first day or two that they came out, and they've been waiting since December.
Right.
You know? So, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that wraps up today's episode about episode 21. We have just a couple housekeeping things to do here at the end. If you have any questions, comments, any theories, or any things that you want us to talk about on the podcast, you can email any and all of those things to us at questions@terracehousepodcast.com. We hope that you really like the things we do here. I mean, if you're listening to me now, you've been sitting here for a while and listening to us, so we appreciate that. You know, giving us so much of your time this week, so that we could talk to you. And if you really like what we do and you want to support us in a way that could help us make the show even better, we do have a Buy Me a Coffee link down below in the description and in the show notes if you're listening to it via Spotify and so on. If you want to throw us some money, that would be very helpful. But at the same time, if you follow us on Spotify, on Twitter, on Instagram, check out our Discord, any way you interface with us, it means the world. it just means so much that it's kind of crazy that we're at this point just by being a bunch of nerds talking about Terrace House, you know?
Nerds.
Fucking nerds. another thing on the horizon, next week we're going to be ramping up into a completely untitled project yet, but it's going to be basically a Terrace House deathmatch kind of a thing as a play on March Madness. So we're going to have some brackets going up soon, and we're going to have links out so you can vote for it. And it's just going to be kind of a fun thing that we're going to do with our community, where basically who would win in a fight of all the Terrace House members that we have.
Yeah. So, in lieu of our celebration of hitting 1,000 subscribers on YouTube.
Mm. Yeah. So keep an eye out for that. That'll probably be, we'll have more information on that with the next week's episode, which is when we will be covering episode 22 of Tokyo 2019-2020 tip off. That's a basketball thing, right, guys?
Good job. Tip off. Good job.
Thank you.
Is it?
Basketball, the one with the strikes?
It's the one with the bowling ball, yeah. Oh. So yeah, we'll be back next Tuesday with another episode. This has been Tadaima. Thanks for listening. Itadakimasu.
Follow us on Instagram at TadaimaGram, on Twitter at TadaimaPod, and check out our YouTube channel, Facebook group, and brand new Discord server, all linked in the show notes.